on the other side of this test is everything you've ever dreamed, everything you prayed for, everything he promised you.
All right, we're going to continue and close out our series, Destiny, that we started about a month ago. Learning our destiny is the big million-dollar question. People want to know, what is my destiny? How do I get to my destiny? Now, today, I just got back from vacation, and, you know, I love vacation, but what I don't like is the drive. How many love driving across long? Some of you like that. That's because you ain't got kids, okay? Just go ahead. Just tell us right there. You know, but when you got kids and you're traveling a long ways, the 10-hour drive, 11-hour drive turns into 15 hours. You know, I think we should, I was telling Pastor Tom this in the first service, I think we should go ahead and patent it and come up with a SUV that has a porta potty built into the back seat. That way we can just get there instead of stopping every hour to go to the bathroom. Come on now, just send the kid to the back seat, flush it out to the car behind you, and keep going. Because my job as a father is to get there as what? As soon as possible, right? The quickest way. That's my job as a man, as a father. It's in my DNA. I want to get there. I don't want to stop. We just stopped an hour ago to go to the bathroom. I don't need to stop again. We can do this. Come on. Your bladder needs to grow up. Let's do this. And it takes forever, you know. But the same question, this whole trip, seems to happen all the time. What's the question? Dad, are we there yet? Dad, are we there yet? No, we're in Arkansas. We still got to go through Tennessee. We got to go through Mississippi. We got to go through Alabama. Then we'll be in Florida, okay? We're not there yet. And that's the question I want to ask today is, are we there yet? Because I think some of us here, we do a lot of the same things. Are we there yet? We keep asking that question, are we there yet? You know, and what is there? I think we say it a lot. Are we there yet? We're always looking to get there. We're always wanting to reach there. We're always wanting to live there. We're always wanting to move there. We're always ready to get a job there. It's there. What is there? I mean, what is there? You know, we'll have kids when we get there. You know, what's there? I can tell you right now, you're never ready to have kids. Well, we'll buy a house when we can afford it. You're never ready. You're never ready. It's just, sometimes you just got to bite the bullet and learn and go and budget and just make it happen, because we'll never really be there, you know? But what is there? It's just kind of this word we throw out there all the time. When I'm there, when I'm there, when I'm there. What is there? And that's the question today. What is our there? I think the Bible makes it very clear about the Christian what our there should be striving for. Look at Romans 8:29 says, for those who God foreknew, that's us, he also what? Predestined. He predestined. Say this together. Say predestined. Let's say it another way. My destiny. My destiny. The what? To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among the many brothers and sisters. My destiny is what? Look what this next statement says. This is what the scripture says. We just read it. My destiny is to be conformed to the image of Christ. This is my destiny. This is my objective. This is where God's called me, to be full conformed to the image of Christ. Let me put it in simpler terms, to be like Jesus. Simply to be like Jesus. And I'll never 100% be like Jesus. You'll never 100% be like Jesus, which means this. No matter how old you are, what age you are, you should always be looking to grow in every season of our life, looking to grow, mature, to shed off the weight, and to run the race with endurance and say, God, I am ready to be like Jesus. That's my there. My there is not this or that, or this goal. My there is to be like Christ. That's what God's calling me to be. I want to learn. I want to learn to care about the things he cares about. I want to learn to respond the way he would respond. I want to learn to act the way he would act. I want to learn to treat people the way he would treat them. I want to learn to care the way he would care. And, you know, it's a journey. It's a journey on the process. And I'm not there yet completely. And you're not either. So let's keep working for it. This is our destiny. And we do that by stripping aside the weights. But still, there's something about this word there. You know, the world's theology about God is really kind of similar to the theology of Genie in the Bottle. Now, I'm going to age myself a little bit, but how many remember the show, I Dream of Genie? How come all the guys raising their hands? Any ladies remember the show, I Dream of Jeannie? Okay. All right. Just check in there. I see some of you guys smiling back there. I love Jeannie. No, I love Jeannie growing up. And, you know, Jeannie wins in the bottle. And, of course, when you need, if you've seen Aladdin or you see any of these cartoons about genies, you know, growing up as kids, you know, you find the bottle and you rub the bottle and the genie appears to get 3 wishes. You got to be careful what you wish for, you know. And for many of us, you know, obviously that's good for movies and TV shows and cartoons. You know, that's all right. But for many of us, that's the way we treat God. For many of us, that's the way we treat God. We see God as our genie in the bottle. That the only time we want to commune with God, the only time we want to talk to God, the only time we really want to really get serious about God is when we need something. And we keep God in our own compartment. We keep God in our own bottle. And then we get in a crisis and we're like, oh, God, where are you? God, come here, God. I need something. God, I need my miracle. God, I need this. I need that. And what we realize, this is bad theology. It's not that God can't do a miracle in our life. We believe that. We just sung about it. But the theology is this. God doesn't stay here. God doesn't want to stay. Matter of fact, God won't stay here. He won't stay here because he never designed for us to keep him in a bottle. He designed for us to be a part of every part of our life. And the problem that we have is that as Christians, many times, we say, all right, I'm prioritizing my life. I've got my, Spock using the pie as an example. We have the pie and we cut it up into pieces. We got our work slice. We got our marriage, our relationships. We got our hobbies and we got God slice right here. We go to church on Sundays and we got our God slice right here. And, you know, as long as I got God as a part of that pie, I'm okay. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because God doesn't want to be a piece of your life. He doesn't want to be a piece of your pie. He wants to be mixed throughout all the ingredients. He wants to be a part of your work. He wants to be a part of your marriage. He wants to be a part of your children, your home, your family. He wants to be a part of your hobbies. He wants to be a part of your good, your bad, your ugly. He wants to be a part of it all. And he wants to be a part of all the ingredients. He's just not some pie in the sky that we call upon when we are in trouble, even though we can do that as Christians, but he wants to be a part of our everyday walk. And he wants us to get there. And finding our journey is saying, God, I know that you're leading me. God, I know that you're taking me. He's evolving my life. Now, look at this scripture in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 4 and verse 6. Let's read what it says together. He's talking about the children of Israel. He says, "For I don't want you to be ignorant," talking to us. This is Paul talking to the New Testament church. Hey, don't be ignorant, okay? "Of the facts, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and they all passed through the sea." Now he's talking about the children of Israel. "They were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food, drank the same spiritual drink, and they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that the rock was Christ." And look at verse 6 says now, why did this happen? "Now these things occurred as" what? "Examples." Everybody look up and say, teaching moment. This is what this is. "As a teaching moment, for examples for us to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did." And so the scripture is teaching us, if we look back at this story, how God dealt with the Israelites coming out of Egypt and their journey to the promised land, he says, "I want you to learn from this. I did this to show you the process that I used to move my people from one place to another, to take them to their promise, the place I have for them. There's an example, some things I want you to learn along the way." So I want you to write some of these things down today, and I'm going to tell you this in a second. But I want to, first of all, talk to you about this thing. You know, God is using this for our example. You know, we want to get there. We got to learn from our mistakes. You know, one of the things that I see happening, let's say this chair represents our there. Let's say this chair represents the place, the promise that God's got for us, our promised land, our there that God's got for us. We like this. We come into a church service like this, maybe at another church or somewhere here, and we came in possibly, and you come in and you're like, "God, I'm weighed down with all my burdens. I've been carrying heavy burdens. I've got my own personal sin in my life. I've never accepted the giving you control of my life, accept you as Savior." We come in, we feel God's presence. We say, "God, I believe in you. God, I give my life to you. You are Lord. I'm going to serve you." And when we do that, break out of those chains, that weight begins to fall down. We're feeling good about ourselves, and then we're like, there. That's where I want to be. My there that God's got for me. And what if I told you, all right, you go from here to there, how are you going to travel there? The shortest way possible. You're going to run. You're going to be like, yeah. Damn, I want to get there as quick as possible. I want to be here. But listen, God doesn't work that way. This is the crazy thing about God. God doesn't work the way we want to work. God doesn't see it the way we want to see it. And so God, our agenda, because we're men especially, we want to get here as fast as possible. I want to get there the quickest route possible, the easiest route possible. And God says, no, 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 I got other plans for you. I got another journey for you. I got another way to get you there. Yeah, we're traveling there, but you're not going to get there as quick as you think. And so I want you to get this in your heart and think about it today as we continue to go forward. Write this down. Number one, God often takes his people on the longest route. Isn't that so true? God often takes his people on the longest route. Not every time, but often he does. He takes his people on the longest route. And we can prove this in Scripture because we know that God says our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. That his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are not comprehensible by us. It makes no sense to us because we want to, boom, I want to be there. I got my way. I got my agenda. I got my timing. Let's get there. But God doesn't think that way. Matter of fact, we get some insight to the Scripture. We see insight how God works. Exodus 13, talking about the children of Israel, verses 17 through 18 of Exodus 13. It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country. Why? Though that was the shorter route, okay? God did not take them the shorter route. Scripture makes it very clear right here. God did not take them on the shortest route possible. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return back to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. Now we see something happening here. God's like, you know what? And it says the Israelites went out of Egypt ready for battle, but they were not ready for battle. They thought they were ready for battle, but God knew if they go and cut through Philistine country, even though that's the quickest route, they'll probably want to give up, turn around, and go back and work for Pharaoh. And so God said, I got to take them around a different route. I got to walk them around and begin to build their faith so when they get to the walls of Jericho, they got some faith built up. They got some fight about them, knowing that I'm with them, I'm in control. So I'm going to have to do some things in their life first. I'm going to have to take them around a different way so I can do something on the inside of them so I can get them to their there. See, God doesn't always go the way we do. And how many know today that God says, you know what? I've got to do something in their life. I've got to change them so when they get there, they're ready to stay there. See, if we get here too soon, we're not always ready to stay here. We leave here too soon. So God sometimes has got to do work in our life so when we get there, we're ready to give him the glory. We're ready to follow his will no matter what the cost. How many are thankful for detours in your life? I mean, look back and think about the obstacles that God caused you to miss at the time you were upset. Think about the things you said, God, I wanted things to go this way, and it didn't. But looking back now, you go, wow, God, thank you. That was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. As hard as it was, that was the best thing that could have ever happened to me because it saved me a lot of grief later. It saved me a lot of pain later. It saved me a lot of embarrassment later. Whatever it was, and God allowed things to happen. And it seems like you're taking a long way around. It wasn't the way you wanted things to happen. But looking back, God took you a different way. And this is the way God operates. God doesn't always look for the fastest way. He's looking for the way that changes us and prepares us. The original Hebrew meaning of this way actually talks about God leading his people around. When you look at the original meaning of the Hebrew, it says that God took them in circles. Have you ever felt that way? Man, you're just walking in circles. God, I know my there's there, and I know I got to get there, and we go like over here, and we kind of climb, and then we come back down a little bit more, and then next season we're climbing a little bit here, and we're climbing back down here. We're climbing here, and we're going over here, and I know my there's over there, but God's taking me over here, and I'm climbing here, and I'm going through here, and we're trying to get to our there, and God's taking us in circles only to bring us back to the place we started from, and I'm like, God, what are you doing? Do you not know my there's there? And you keep taking me in circles. Why? Because God is doing something in your life. God takes people in circles. I'll just be honest. God takes people in circles because he's trying to do something in our life that is preparing us to walk in our destiny. He's preparing us to walk in our there. And so many times he's got to take us in circles until we can lay aside the addiction, until we can lay aside our pride, until we can lay aside the things that we're hanging on to as crutches in our life, until we can get rid of some of the things so he can get us prepared for our there. God, why am I walking in circles? Because he loves you. And he's taking you a different route. God takes us many times to the Red Sea. See, look what Exodus 13, 21 through 22 says. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. God's ahead of them in a pillar of fire to give them light. So they could what? Travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. It didn't lead them. I'm here to tell you today, God moves in a different way. Write this down, number two. God is always between me and my enemy. God is always between me and my enemy. Even though you may feel like you're walking in circles, you're not gaining the ground you want, God is always between you and your enemy. God is always there. He's leading you and he's guiding you even when you're walking in circles. Even when you're not making up the ground you think you should be making up, God has not left you. God is between you and your enemies. This is important to know because God's up to something. God's doing something. God's leading you in a path, a different direction because he's trying to prepare you for that next season. And so many times he takes a while. He's taking us on this long trip. So when God takes me the long way around, but he provides protection during that journey. He's building something inside of me. See, we're all enrolled today in Faith University. We're all enrolled in Faith University. Some of you just thought you were done with college. You ain't done yet. You're in college every day. It's called Faith University. God is teaching us every day. God is testing us every day. God is pulling from us every day. God is wanting us to grow in our faith. It's Faith University. We're a part of that. He's growing us. See, you would never take your kids who came to you and said, Dad, man, your kids graduate high school, and they say, I really want to go to college. I feel like I need to go and get my degree in college. I want to further my education. Would you ever say, you don't need to go to college? I tell you what, for $129, I found a place online that I can order and get you a degree sent here, and you can frame it, and you can have a degree from some no-name college, and they'll give it to you. For $129, they'll give you a degree. You don't have to go out and work for it. We would never do that, right? Why? Because we know that the total thing about going to college is not just about getting the degree. It's the training that comes that prepares them at the end of that degree. It's the self-discipline. It's the studying. That's the mentoring. It's the internships. It's the hands-on. It's the research. We know that it's teaching them something. It's developing. So when they get that degree, they've got some hands-on experience and they're ready to go and work in that field. It's not about the paper on the wall. It's about the experience, building up that experience, that degree. See, we would never do that with our children. Same thing. God said, I'm not just going to fast-track you and put you in your there. I want you to go through an internship first. I want you to go through some things first. I want you to take a different way around. I'm building something up in you. I'm changing something up in you. He's preparing us. Even though this way says it may be faster, God says, I've got something going on. Society says it's mine and I want it now, right? It's my way. I want it now. It's my money. I want it now. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. And God's like, it ain't yours. It's mine. You're living in my world, and if you're following me, I'm going to lead you, and sometimes I got to take you in circles to get you ready for it. Sometimes I got to take you the long way around. Sometimes I got to take you and prepare you for the next season. Write this down, number three. God will always lead us to a place that seems like there's no way out. This is so true. Oftentimes, God leads us to a place that seems like there's no way out. He takes the children of Israel, and he leads them out of Pharaoh, out of Egypt, only to where? To lead them, not to the fastest route to the promised land, but now he takes them a different route, and he leads them right to the promised land. Right to the promised land. night? No, he doesn't, does he? He takes them where? To the Red Sea. He puts their back up against the wall, puts them there at the Red Sea. So now the enemies are behind them. The Red Sea is in front of them. Then they turn around and look. We can't go here. The Red Sea's there. Let's go back. No, we can't because the enemy's right there. So the Red Sea's at their back. Their enemy's at the front. But who's still there? God. God is still between them and their enemy. God is still keeping their enemy held off. But their back's against the wall. There's nowhere to go. And God oftentimes works this way. He leads us to places that our back's against the wall. Why? Because he wants to test you and see, will you go back into your old nature? Will you go back into the thing I've been trying to pull you out of? Will you go back? And so he's testing you, taking you in circles to see, are you really going to follow through with it? Are you going to go back to the person you used to be, or are you laying down some things in your life? And he's taking you through circles to test you and see, are you letting go of some things in your life? Are you changing some things in your life? And so he'll walk you in circles. And so we're trying to get through our there, and God's walking us in circles and circles and circles, and we're climbing the mountain only to climb back down, and then we climb the mountain only to climb back down, and then we climb the mountain only to climb back down, and we go in circles, and we go in circles, and we go in circles. Finally, God, I give up. I am tired of walking in circles. God, I am tired of climbing this mountain. God, I am tired. I've been doing in circles. God, I'm tired. I give up. And God says, good, because then I've got you right where I want you. He wants us to give up. God, I can't go another mile without you. God, I don't want to go another step without you. God, if I'm going to get to my there, you're going to have to carry me because I can't do it anymore on my own. And God's like, good, that's exactly where I want you. You think I don't believe this? We just read that. We talked about it. That God said this. This was his plan all along. See, look at this. What seems like a place of breaking is often our place of deliverance. What seems like a place of breaking is often our place of deliverance. God's walking them in circles in the desert. He's taking them a long way around. He walks them right up to the edge of the Red Sea. Nowhere to go in front of them. Nowhere to go behind them. And God's like, great, I got you exactly where I want you. And it brings them to the breaking point. God, you brought us out here to die in the desert, to die at Pharaoh's hand or die at the sea. God, you got us here. And God's like, no, just stand back and watch. He said, I am God. And we see God part the waters. They walk across on dry land only to bring back the waters to kill off the enemy. See, what seemed like a place of defeat, God used as a place to defeat the enemy. They thought their back was against the wall. There was no way out. But God was only bringing them there so the enemy would follow them across the dry land so that when they got across, that he would close the waters up on the enemies. And in this instant, God took all the enemies out that had been chasing them, that had been abusing them for years, whipping them for years, enslaving them for years. In one instant, God opened up the sea. They walked across and made a way when there wasn't a way. And then God closes the sea on the enemies. You tell me God doesn't have a plan? He had a plan all along. It was to lead them in circles and take them to where there was no other way except for God. And if you're at that place that there is no other way, my marriage is going to survive except for God, congratulations. Give it over to God. You say, there's no other way I can get to where I'm going, but thus God takes me. Congratulations. God's got you exactly where he wants you. He's preparing you for a miracle in your life. It's a place of deliverance. If you think I'm lying, look what the scripture says. Exodus 14. Look at God's plan all along. Verses 1 through 4 of Exodus 14. God told Moses ahead of time. Look what he told him. Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Hiroth between Migdal and the sea. They are encamped by the sea directly opposite of Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think, look, God had a plan. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land confused. You ever see somebody walking around in circles? Out in public, like, that person is confused. That person needs some mental help. We see them, and sometimes they wander around the town. They're like, man, that person could use a little help. And we don't think they've all got it all together. Why? Because we see them just walking around in circles. This is what's happening. Pharaoh's like, these people are crazy. I let them go. Instead of taking the shortest route to get out of town, they keep walking around in circles, staying close by where I can just send my army out and we can go capture them and we can bring them back. These people are dumb. Let's go out there. There's no way. They're so dumb. We're going to go after them. We're going to bring them back. Go get them, guys. Let's go. And God's like, that's my plan. I want you to chase the people because I got a plan that you don't see coming. And God, in the instant, use that to defeat the enemies. See, God has a plan. When your back's against the wall, God's got a plan. God led you in circles and led you to a place where you can't go any further unless he moves. Great. That's what he wants to do. Let faith arise. God, you are before me. God, you are with me. So he delivers them, takes them out to a place where the enemies are defeated. And what happens then? Then God begins to take them in circles again. Isn't this great? I mean, all right, God, you take me the long way around. You take me to the Red Sea. Now you open it up. We walk around on dry ground. The enemies come. We've learned our lesson, God. We have learned our lesson. God, you can do anything. So let's go. Where are we going? Let's go through the desert. Through the desert! There's no water in the desert. It says they're traveling in the hot desert for 3 days without water. Now, it may not seem like a long time, but have you, any of you ever gone 3 days without water in this room? Raise your hand. I don't think anybody, yeah, unless you're in the military, stuck somewhere, you probably haven't gone 3 days without water. Our bodies are not designed to go 3 days without water. Our body begins to shut down after 3 days without water. Medical science tells us if we go 3 days without water, our tongues will swell up. Can you imagine the hot desert? Their tongues are swollen up. There's no water. I just see things a little different, okay? You're yelling to God. Yelling to God. Thirsty, dehydrated, hallucinating, fatigued. And they start seeing it off in the distance. Water. I can imagine them running, crawling to the water. It says they got to the place of Marar, and the water there was... they couldn't drink it because it was bitter. I mean, how crazy is that? God, you lead us in circles only to bring us to water that's bitter. We can't drink it. If we drink it, we'll die. If we don't drink it, we'll die. What a cruel joke, right? It says, look what the scripture says now. Let's go to the next scripture in Exodus. Exodus 15, 23. When they came to Marar, they could not drink the water because it was what? Bitter. Everybody say bitter. This is important. It says they couldn't drink the water because it was bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? Moses cried out to God. And the Lord showed him what? A piece of wood. He picked up that wood and he threw it into the water. And the water became fit for them to drink. You see, when God's got you going in circles, follow me here now today. This is going to be good. I want you to catch this. When God's got you going in circles in your life, he always brings us to a place where we got to deal with the bitterness in our life. He always brings us to a place where we have to deal with the things that have made us bitter in our life. See, to get to my there, I've got to address the bitter places in my life. But see, the good news is this. This is the good news. He didn't just leave the bitter places for us to drink and not be able to sustain. But he allowed his son, Jesus, to carry the wooden cross up Calvary's hill. And we apply the cross of Jesus. When we apply the wood to our life, the bitter places in our life begin to come whole again. The bitter places in our life are healed through what? Through the wood, through the grace of God. God's grace is sufficient for you and I. In the places of bitterness, when we apply the cross, it changes our perspective. It changes the way we look at things. It allows us to consume things we couldn't consume before. It allows us to taste and see, God, you are so good. Why? Because I've been drinking of this bitter cup for a long time. I've been walking in circles for a long time. I've been spiritually dehydrated for a long time. Bitterness has been ruling my life a long time. But when I apply the cross, when I allow the wood to fall into that place, that bitterness becomes a place of refreshing. God, your grace is so good. That thing that was keeping me bound, that bitterness that was keeping me bound no longer is a place of weakness. Now it becomes a place of strength. God, look where you brought me from through your cross. The cross has been applied. Now I've been able to forgive those who have hurt me. I've been able to forgive the person who deserved no forgiveness. I was able to forgive and move beyond this place in my life, the place that was a place of obstacle that was meant to kill and poison me. That bitter place has been applied to the cross, and it no longer brings a place of bitterness, but now it brings refreshment, healing, saturation to my life, hydration to my life. It's called the grace of the cross. This is what happens on our journey to get there. Oftentimes, I'm going to ask musicians to come. Oftentimes, we're walking in circles. God, what are you up to? God, what are you doing? God, are we there yet? When will we ever get there? God, am I ever going to get there? Why are they there and I'm not there? God, why are you walking me in circles? If you're walking in circles today, you're in good company. You're in great company. See, many times God asks the people to go through those things in life. Joseph had to go through the pit to get to the palace. Abraham had to be willing to give up the son on the mountain before God brought the promise. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to go through what? Had to go to the fiery furnace before they got released. Daniel had to be faced in a lion's den. I mean, it's always there. We're finding our backs against the wall. Esther had to say, if I die, I die. If I perish, I perish. But I'm going forth. The disciples had to get in the boat and say, we're going to get through the storm no matter what, God. It's a place, God, that takes us, every one of us. He pushes us out there. And says, I may be leading you in circles, but I'm doing something. Don't fret if you're walking in circles today. God's up to something. Don't grow weary of doing the right thing, because God's up to something. And say, God, I'm ready to give it my life, surrender to you, totally to you in every area. I want you to bow your heads this morning. Before we go any further today, I want to ask you a question. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I've never surrendered my life fully to Jesus. I never asked him to be Lord of my life. And today, I want to accept Jesus Christ into my life. We won't do anything to embarrass you or single you out at all, but we want to give you a chance to respond with nobody looking but me. If that's you today, say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus. Can you just raise your hand and say, I'm ready? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Say, I'm ready to accept Jesus. I want to give up my life, control to him. Anybody else, you're here today. God brought you to this place to hear this message today so you can say, God, I'm ready to give my life to you. If you haven't raised it, one more time, raise your hand right now. Let me see it. Thank you. I see that hand. All right, guys. We're going to say this prayer together. For those who raise your hands, I want you to repeat after me. As Christians around you, we'll say it out loud with you to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I confess I am a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. I surrender all of my life to you. From this day forward, I will follow you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. I will live my life for you in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time and you meant it from your heart today, we say, welcome to the family of God. Come on, give me a hand. Several hands went up today. If you prayed that prayer today, let me make it very clear. It's just the beginning, okay? It's just the beginning of a journey, a lifelong journey where you're learning to find you're there. God, I want to be conformed in your image. It doesn't happen with one prayer. Grace is applied through one prayer, but we need now to say, God, I want to grow in you. You need to be plugged into a church home. If you don't have one, get plugged in here. We'd love to have you here. If you have one, go back and tell your friend or your pastor, I gave my life to Jesus. I want to get plugged in. Before you leave today, we got a free Bible in the back we'd love to give you. Inside that Bible, some information on what to do next. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. How many today say, Pastor, I've been walking in circles. Anybody here feel like you're walking in circles? Yeah? How many say, I'm ready to walk in the destiny God's got for my life? Anybody else? Yeah? I'm going to invite those today as we close out the service. If you want to step out of your chair, come down to the front, to the altar, and say, God, I'm stepping into my destiny. I'm going to let you lead me. I'm not going to fret when my back's against the wall. But God, I believe you got a plan. We're stepping into our destiny. Step out of your seat. Come to the front. Join us. We're going to close with this song as we do. Sing it from your heart today. Make it your prayer. Say, God, I'm giving you everything we are. Come on.
Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Come on, everybody, bow down before him.
Bow down before him. For he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah.
Let's raise our hands. I want to pray for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that God, you're the God who never leaves us nor forsakes us. But even when it feels like we're walking in circles, even when it feels like our back's against the wall and we have no way out, nowhere to turn, God, you have never left us. You never forsake us. And God, you are up to something. You're preparing a way out. And God, I pray right now that we would see those breaking places as places of deliverance. We would see those places of breaking as places of deliverance. And Father, you take us through that place. And God, you allow us to conquer the bitter places in our life, the places where we've been bitter. The bitterness is overtaking us. God, we apply the cross right now. May we see things the way you see. As we are growing, being conformed into the image of Christ, may I learn to forgive and apply the cross, the blood of Jesus, to the bitter places of my life. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I will walk in my destiny. We will walk in our calling. In Jesus' name, we say yes and amen, put your hands together if you believe that today. God bless you so much, guys. We love you. Thank you so much for being here today. Walk out. Sink in that word today. Meditate in that word this week. Let God take you where he's taking you so you're there. God bless you. Turn around, turn to somebody and say, I love you, man. I love you.